Lord Jesus, we just pray for Doug today as he brings your word. Lord Jesus, please guide him with your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for Doug and his leadership. Amen.
Morning, everyone. There's been a little bit of talk already this morning about truth. I know Jono, when he introduced things, he said to us dads that it's important not to focus so much on the news and maybe to rather spend time in God's Word. And he had also just emphasized the importance of truth. And really, that's what I'm going to be speaking about today in this Each One series. And the next one is Each One Aligned with a Common Doctrine. Okay. So today is going to be a pretty serious one, in a sense, in that it's maybe a bit dry. It's not like an inspired word, but really, what it is it's something that's really critical for us as we move forward as a church to be in agreement in what we believe. So really, our doctrine is our set of beliefs, what those are, and we're going to be going through those briefly with you guys today. Okay, so just to say that as a leadership team, what we've done is we've spent quite a few evenings agonizing over what our fundamental truths are, and we had a very good starting point in that we've always had a set of fundamental truths, or things that we commonly believe amongst us, and that's been the same for our church for the last 20 years or more since Rob and Pam were here. But what we did is we thought it was important just to reflect against those again, see whether there's anything that's changed. Are there any new truths that we want to make sure are cemented in there? So we spent lots of late nights going through them, looking at what different churches believe as well, and trying to come through to a set of statements that we really felt reflect who we are. And just to say that there haven't been any major fundamental shifts in what we believe. So I think that's important as well. So hopefully nothing, when our response is presented today, nothing will be like, "Tish, wow, I didn't expect that." It should be, everything that I present today should be what you expected and what is fundamentally important to you as believers as part of this body. Okay. Thanks, Simon. So I want to just emphasize today really why doctrine is important. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So a few words that really stand out for me there is that Christ wants us to live in harmony as a body. He doesn't want there to be divisions, right? And he wants us to be of one mind. Okay, and I think if you read through the early letters that Paul wrote to the churches, a lot of it was to deal with division. There was a lot of strife that was going on. There were people coming with different beliefs. There were the Jewish guys who were saying, you know, you have to mix in some of the Old Testament into your beliefs as well. There were all sorts of other ideas that were entering the church. And if Paul wasn't firm and saying, guys, this is what I taught you, this is the revelation of God for us, people could have gone astray. So I think you can see, I hope you all agree, that having a common set of beliefs is really important in the way we do church from day to day. Okay. Also, I think it's critical that each of us has a sound biblical foundation. Right, and hopefully, I mean, many of you here that I'm looking at, all of you guys have been Christians for a long time. Most of you have. So you've been reading the Word, and I think you believe, obviously, that it's important in each of your lives. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, do not stifle the Holy Spirit, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. But what I want to emphasize here is the words, test everything that is said. So as much as it's a responsibility of us as leadership and whoever's teaching to be accountable for what they say, there's also an accountability for each of you to test everything. And if you think that something's being said that is not aligned with the doctrine that we believe, that is what's said in the Word, then you must challenge that. It's important to challenge that, so whatever is said, that you're sure that it's correct. Okay. So I'm just going to ask Heather just to hand out copies of our fundamental truths, or the things that are commonly believed amongst us. And this was distributed to everyone, I think about 2 weeks ago. And really the reason for that is that on next week's Sunday we've got the AGM. And at the AGM we're doing, one of the really important things that we're doing is that we're signing off that we're happy with our constitution. And in some ways a constitution you'd say, well, that's pretty arbitrary. Yes, it is just a legal requirement, but there are some things as part of that constitution that are really important, and that includes our fundamental truths. So this is essentially an appendix, as it were, to our constitution, and the idea is that it's not going to change. So in future, the way things work in the constitution, that if we want to change this here in future, there's got to be a two-thirds majority in our church. Okay, so we don't take this lightly, that what we say we believe is what we believe. And if someone wants to come with a new idea, essentially two-thirds of us have to agree that there's real merit in that. And it might be a few minor words that need a change in future, and that's fine. But just to say, we do take this seriously. And I think what is important, guys, is that this is your fundamental truths. It's not leadership's. It's all of ours. So we all need to take ownership. This is each one of ours. And we each need to understand what's in here. We need to be convinced that we're happy to abide by this doctrine as well. Right, so moving on. What I'm going to do today is I'm just going to run through them briefly. Okay, and I think what I would like to encourage you guys to do when you get home is to spend some time going through some of those scriptures, especially if there's one that you may be not so sure about. Like, is this really exactly what I believe? Go through the scriptures, have a look, see if you're happy. And I just want to say thanks to Heather. She spent all day yesterday putting all the verses to what we'd agreed to. So she put a lot of effort into that. Okay, so really the question I want to answer to start off with is why is doctrine so important? And the first reason is that our faith is based on a very specific set of beliefs. Okay. And firstly, the first one of that is that the Bible is the Word of God. And that's the first one. It's really, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which is one of the accompanying scriptures you'll see there, says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach, for teaching us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So it really is, shows us what is wrong and what is right. It's the word by which we live. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Okay, so really just saying that's the first one. I think we all agree with that. All of us, our reference guide to life is the Bible. Okay, so no queries there, hopefully. And the second one is that there's only one true God. Okay, so we don't believe that there are lots of gods and lots of ways to heaven. We believe there's one God that created heaven and earth and created us and has a plan for us. Okay. The third one is that Jesus was both God and man, and that he came to be the savior of mankind. Okay, and then there's a lot, you'll see there's a lot of reference to a whole range of different verses there about the deity of Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his miracles. But really it's about Jesus. And that without Jesus, we're lost. Okay, and that's really what that truth speaks to, and that Jesus was the Son of God. Okay, so those are the first three. Moving on then, I think if you keep asking the question around why doctrine's important, the way we relate to God is also defined by our beliefs. So the relationship between us and whoever it is that we worship is defined by what we believe about our God. So if we look at number four, it says that while man is designed for a relationship with God, our sin separates us from God. Okay, so that's a fundamental start, that actually without us reaching out to Jesus, there's a problem. There's a God that loves us, and we're stuck with the problem. And the problem is sin. And that's a fundamental truth for us, that we're lost without God. Okay. Then following on from that, number five, is really saying that the only answer to sin and coming into a right standing with God comes to us accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. Okay, I think we all believe that. Christians means we put our trust and our faith in Christ and Christ alone. Okay. In John 3:3, Jesus is talking here. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So it talks about the importance of having an instance in your life where you turn and you commit yourself to God, you ask for his repentance, and you accept the sacrifice that he has made. Okay. Thanks, Simon. So another reason why doctrine is important is that what we believe also affects our response to God. So the way we relate to him. And that's sort of fleshed out a little bit if we read number 6. So I'm just going to read that fully. You can read it in front of you as well. So it says, "We believe that sanctification refers both to our position in Christ as being set apart for his service and to the ongoing process of dying to self, which is achieved through wholehearted devotion to God and of the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit." Okay, so it's quite a long, a lot of words that were sort of quite choicely chosen here. But I think the key aspects that I want to raise there is that as believers, we are sanctified, we're set apart and declared holy because of Jesus. Not because of anything that we've done. And really that places us in a position where we can relate to God. Otherwise there's this barrier, our sin's in the way. Okay. The second part though, which is equally important, is that our relationship is also affected by the way we live. So it's not good enough just to say, Jesus did it, I can keep on living. I'm sanctified, I can keep on living however I like. But really, this really says that sanctification is an ongoing process. We're supposed to be running a race, we're getting more and more like Jesus. We're called to be more and more like him. So it's not like in a twinkling of an eye, we say a prayer and we like Jesus. We're not. We are made clean, but we've got to keep walking. And that walk should bring us closer and closer and closer to Jesus, more like him, from day to day and week to week. Okay, so that's really important. Okay, next, our core beliefs also clarify our view on some specific commands. So, or we'd call them ordinances. And one of those is water baptism. And I think, you know, while water baptism is maybe not, I guess we wouldn't fight for it as much as we would for that Jesus is the only way to God. It's still important in the way that we relate to one another and the way we do church. So if you look at other churches, some churches have got quite different beliefs. So the Anglican Church will, when kids are very young, they'll sprinkle them with water and they'll say a prayer. I don't know all the details about it, but it's done a bit differently. And we don't want to criticize them for that. God loves all our churches. We're all part of God's jigsaw puzzle. But the way we agree to do things here is we believe in baptism by immersion. That's how we do it. And we believe that that's the right way to do it. We're not going to fight with people about it, but that's the way we do it, yeah. Yeah, so I think that is important. So it's not a salvation thing. It's a testimony thing. So I mean, it's really that God commands us to be baptized. That's the key thing. I think you know exactly what it looks like. I mean, we've actually had an interesting thing that Sheldon and Kath, who were part of our church for years, are now part of the Anglican Church. And we've been going through an interesting journey with Sheldon because like he's like, I want my kids to get baptized, but the way they do it is so different. How do we kind of do it? And so they're doing it the Anglican way, but what they've done with their kids is they've said, kids, when you do this, it's your choice. And the key thing is that as you do this thing, it's showing everyone that you've decided to follow Christ. And so that's how they've resolved it in their minds as well. But I think the key thing is that it's a testimony to God that you committed to him. So it happens, the way we understand it is that it happens after salvation. As a testimony to say, I'm following Christ, and I'm identifying with what he's done in my life. Yeah, but I think, you know, there may be quite a few people that have maybe had a different experience, and let's talk through those things. Yeah, but I think it's a heart thing. Okay. Okay, moving on to number 8. Okay, let's read that. We believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential for empowering all believers for witnessing and effective service, just as in New Testament times. And, you know, Pam gave a wonderful sermon on that a few weeks ago, and really just emphasized the importance for each one of us to experience that baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that also as a church, God wants to give us each gift. I mentioned that again last week, that in terms of even figuring out, you know, where we go as a church, it's not just about leadership, it's about all of us to ask God and to use the gifts that He has to speak to this body of Christ. Okay, so we all agree that being baptized in the Spirit is essential for us. Okay, so that's something that we believe that some other very conservative churches wouldn't believe. They would say that that's something that happened long ago and we mustn't worry about that. So Acts, interestingly, this morning I was reading Acts 19 verse 1 to 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." You probably remember the story. So these guys that were believing in Christ, but yet they'd had John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. And I think the importance there is that Paul then came, he prayed with them, they were filled with the Spirit. So what is important for them is this knowledge. There was this new knowledge. They had to know that actually the Holy Spirit was there. It was for them. And that equipped them to, they then had a different experience. So if we don't know or believe that God's Spirit is real and desires to fill us and equip us, how would we know to seek or ask? So it's important that we understand that's there for us. Okay. Moving on to number 9. Doctrine's also important in that it shapes the way we do church. The way we do church from week to week, I think, you know, if you go to a number of different churches around South Africa, the way things happen here would be quite different. Even the level of engagement, you know, who gets involved, even how you have to dress. There's all sorts of things. The way we do church is a particular way. So in number 9, I think some key aspects that I want to bring out about the church in number 9 is that Christ is the head of the church. And I emphasized that again last week, that we look to Christ. Each of us has to look to Christ. It's not just leadership. All of us, we look to Christ as our head, individually and as the church. Okay? And then all believers, or each one, has a role to play as part of that body. Okay, so every one of us here represents an amazing living organism called the Church of God. And we've each got something. God's placed something in each of us. And it's going to be exciting to see over the weeks and the months ahead how He continues to grow us together to really start reaching out and serving Him here in Hilton. Okay, but then each one is also quite critical. Okay, then in terms of the way we do church as well, we believe that elders are appointed as earthly leaders to serve and shepherd the local church. So there is a local leadership element. And then we regularly practice communion, which we did again today, the breaking of bread, just to remember Christ's suffering and His death for us. Okay. Thanks, Simon. You're doing a good job there. Okay, let's move on to number 12. What we believe also brings hope. And I think this is central for us. We need hope in this world. Each of us needs hope. And really, our belief in Scripture and in the truths that are in the Word bring hope. They bring real hope to us as we live. So as Jonah said, you know, when the world is telling us we must run somewhere else, that's not, we get our hope from what we believe. Okay. So number 12 then, a part of that hope is that Christ's death on the cross can make way for miraculous healings. So we believe that God can heal. I think one thing we have to say is that we don't have all the answers about healing. And there have been very many different views about what healing looks like in the church. Now, some people will say, just have faith and you'll be healed. And for some people that happens. But for others, they pray and nothing happens and we don't understand. And I think, you know, what we've reflected here is that we believe that God can heal. We're not going into that He always heals or that when he doesn't heal, there's a cause for that. There's a lot of unknowns, I think, in the whole area of healing. But we do believe that God heals today, and he can. And we must ask him. And it says in some of the passages about elders, that if you're sick, get the elders to come, and the elders should anoint you with oil, and that can bring healing. And that's something it says. We'll do that faithfully as elders, and we'll trust God to work things out. Okay. Then some other cool things, 13, 14, and 15 is really around what we can expect. So the future hope that we have. And there's a few things there, I'm not going to go into much detail, but really the rapture of the church, that we believe that one day when Christ comes back, both the living and the dead will rise in the sky to join Christ for eternity. That's going to be cool. It'll be quite a cool, nice journey here, John, eh? Going out there, checking the world. Hopefully not too many people left behind. Okay, and then that Christ will return to earth to rule 1,000 years. That's very clearly in Scripture as well. And I think the great promise of a new heaven and a new earth, the heaven that awaits for us, a wonderful future for us, for all that have accepted Christ as Lord. And then finally, the last two are really important in that they motivate our action towards non-believers. So the previous ones is our hope. But the problem is that people that don't believe in Jesus don't have the same hope that we have. And actually, they're in a real mess without God. So number 16, it says that really a righteous judgment awaits us all. Eternal life for believers, but spiritual death for those who reject Christ. And we believe that. You know, as tough as that is and as hard as it's to say to people who don't believe, the Bible's very clear that if you reject Christ as Lord, you don't have a future with him in heaven one day. And that's something we believe. We're going to hold on to that. And I think in the world, we're told to kind of mix things up, you know, just everyone accept one another. Don't be too hard about the way you stand for things. But we're told very clearly in the Word that there's only one way. And we need to stand on that. And I think if we don't believe that, that's going to be a problem in the way we relate to others as well. And I think the next one as well, about the need to witness to unbelievers. If we believe everyone's just going to get to heaven by going their own way, it's pointless witnessing. But actually, if we believe what the Bible says, that there is only one way, then we need to make sure we witness to that, that Jesus is the only way. And and the solution for our world. Okay, so we've got lots of hope, but we've also got a responsibility that comes with that we all need to hold on to. It's all of our responsibility. It's all of our hope, but all of our responsibility as well to reach others for Christ. Okay, I'm not going to speak for much longer, but I think there's some warnings that I just want to raise quickly. And it's really watching out for false teachings. And I said earlier that Paul really raised this as a key issue to some of the early churches. So reading Colossians 2 verses 6 to 9. And now just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Now this is the key verse for me. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So I think it's just a warning that the people we interact with day to day, even people that might come and speak in this church, there might even be, maybe I'm going to say something wrong at some point. We all need to be accountable for that. But I think we must know that there's a lot of stuff going out there that's going to try and pull us away from the truth. And that happened when Paul was there. It's going to continue to happen to us. So we need to really just hold on to what is true and test what is said to us and what we believe. It's really important. And then I think there's some important responsibilities for church leadership. That's the next scripture there, and it's Acts 20, verses 28 to 31. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you, after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and the care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. So there is the responsibility that as elders that we also take. We're going to do our best to try and check that nothing wrong comes in. But I think what we all have is we've all got a common foundation. So as much as it's our responsibility, if you guys see something that isn't aligned with our doctrine, we must raise that. We must address that. Okay. So I think a key thing for me, the best way to distinguish the truth from false teaching is to know the truth. And essentially this is really part of that. Obviously God's word sheds much more light on that. But hopefully we can agree on these as key things that we're going to defend and say is important for our church. Okay, so initially we were thinking of maybe getting in groups and getting guys to go through some of the verses, but there's not enough time for that today. So I think really, if you guys can just spend some time, if you've got any questions, you're welcome to come and chat with us around some of the statements. But we haven't received any negative feedback to say that anything needs to change. So we're going to be putting this forward at the AGM for adoption. But I think it would be useful for the leadership to know if anyone is really like antagonistic about any of these things. If you could let us know ideally today, because we would want to try and address it before next Sunday. Okay, so can we ask that? If there's anything that's really troubling someone, please get hold of me, get hold of Pete, get hold of Harvey, and we'll aim to deal with it with you. Okay. Thanks, Simon. Okay, so this is where we're at with the series. So we've gone through wholeheartedly devoted, filled with the Spirit, needed, committed, shepherded, and aligned in doctrine. And so I just want to say, guys, I hope you've really enjoyed the series and got something out of it. After the holidays, we might carry on adding a few more, because I think the way we move forward as church is going to be each one. Okay, so that is the way we do church, and we're looking forward to seeing how God uses each one of us in the months ahead. Just to say though that this Wednesday is quite an important meeting, and that we're going to start building essentially on some of these foundations. So this is kind of our doctrine we've got kind of sorted out. We've laid down some of the things that we believe is really important as leadership in the way we do church. But we're going to start looking forward and saying, well, what is our vision? What does that look like? And then how do we then start aligning the way we do programs, the way we do kids' church, teen ministry, worship? How do we start aligning that better? And how do we start involving people that want to be involved in doing things practically as part of the church? Okay, so that's an important meeting this coming Wednesday. Okay, that's it from my side, guys, and thanks very much. And enjoy Father's Day with your dads. Thanks.